hier und ich begrüße im Studio Mohammed, Sigrid und Marike vom EPITS und von Sladea aus Reutlingen und aus Sierra Leone. Zweimal Ausland aus Tübingen gesehen, manchmal. Ja, herzlich willkommen. Schön, dass ihr da seid. Pleased to meet you. We will have a bilingual radio broadcast show.
Thank you.
Ja, und es geht um das Projekt 4+17 zusammen zukunftsfähig lernen. Baden-Württemberg, Sierra Leone zwischen dem Entwicklungspädagogischen Informationszentrum Reutlingen und Sladea, Sierra Leone Adult Education Association. Fangen wir an mit dir, Sigrid, Sigi, und zwar, du hast das Ganze, die Koordination und den Anstoß gegeben für dieses Projekt. Wie hat das alles angefangen? Wie habt ihr euch auch gefunden?
Ja, vielen lieben Dank. Also ich bin ja seit 1994 immer im EPITS tätig gewesen in verschiedensten Projekten. Und dann habe ich mich dann beworben für eine Tätigkeit, gefördert von Brot für die Welt im Rahmen des zivilen Friedensdienstes. Ich mache es ganz kurz. Ich wurde verbunden mit einer wunderbaren Organisation, Sierra Leone Adult Education Association, und habe sehr bald festgestellt, dass die ganz toll zum EPITS passt. Ähnliche Geschichte, ähnliche Ziele. Meine erste Aufgabe dabei bei Sladea war, ich sollte mal rausfinden, auf sehr, sehr partnerschaftlichen Ebene, was sind eigentlich die Bedürfnisse oder die Weiterentwicklungsmöglichkeiten, Stichwort Empower Sladea. Das war eine wunderbare Aufgabe für mich. Das hat ziemlich lange gedauert, rauszufinden, was braucht Sladea, um sich noch weiter zu entwickeln und der Erwachsenenbildung im nonformalen Bereich in Sierra Leone Gutes zu tun und möglichst viele Menschen, also Zugang zu Bildung und damit auch zu Self-Reliance zu verhelfen. So, und da gab es halt verschiedene Outcomes, Ergebnisse. Was könnte das sein? Ein großer Bedarf und Hunger nach internationalem Austausch kam raus. Am eben Zusammenlernen, und zwar Überschneidung EPITS Sierra Leone, Sladea, schon im Sinne gute Bildung für alle, also SDG 4. Und aber auch Partnerschaft, SDC 17. So, und nachdem das so ein klares Votum war, damals von Sladea, also sich in diese Richtung weiterzuentwickeln, kam dann mir dann die Idee, wir sollten die beiden Ziele verbinden und ein Projekt 4+17, zusammen Zukunftsfähigkeit lernen oder in Englisch Learning Sustainability Together auf den Weg zu bringen. So ist also die Entstehungsgeschichte, und dann hat sich halt EPITS ruckzuck entschlossen, auch einen Zweig internationale Partnerschaften aufzumachen, was wir vorher eigentlich noch nie hatten. Und dann gab es einen Call von der Stiftung Entwicklungszusammenarbeit für Auslandsprojekte. Und so haben wir dann beide gemeinsam, Sladea und EPITS als Antragsteller, diesen Antrag formuliert. Und der ist dann bewilligt worden. Wie wunderbar.
Wann hat es angefangen?
Also der Projektstart war eigentlich Anfang April. Und offiziell endet das Projekt Ende März. Aber natürlich, wir wissen es, Nachhaltigkeit. Wir wollen natürlich, dass die Partnerschaften auf Langfristigkeit anlegen. Also wir haben hoffentlich noch viele Jahre dann vor uns.
Und wie ist diese Antragsstellung, eine gemeinsame, auf einer internationalen Ebene gelaufen? Wie habt ihr das quasi konkret umgesetzt?
Ja, das ist wirklich spannend, weil eigentlich ich kenne keine Donororganisation, die da sagt, also stellt einen gemeinsamen Antrag, oder ich habe die Organisation noch nicht gefunden. So muss man sich also entscheiden, stellt man als deutsche Organisation einen Antrag bei der SEZ zum Beispiel auf ein Auslandsprojekt. Dann habe ich zusammen mit dem Chef oder CEO in Sladia, Bameke Williams, die Inhalte entwickelt. Wir haben gemeinsam entschieden, das soll das Projekt sein, wo die Inhalte später ja noch erläutert werden. Dann habe ich mit der SEZ Verhandlungen aufgenommen. Passt es? Könnte das eine Chance haben? Dann haben wir den Antrag im Groben gemeinsam formuliert, die Aktivitäten bestimmt. Und dann hat das EPIZ das auf Deutsch an die SEZ geschickt, dem Kuratorium vorgelegt. Und sie haben gesagt, also aufgrund des fantastischen Inhalts hätte es wirklich also relativ schnell die Zusage bekommen von dem Kuratorium. Also so muss man sich das vorstellen. Aber das Handicap ist halt, dass das EPIZ alleine das Bindeglied ist zu der Stiftung Entwicklungszusammenarbeit und nicht eben beide Partner. Aber dadurch, dass wir uns ja so gut kennen, schaffen wir das demokratisch hinzubekommen.
Wie lang ist die Vorgeschichte zwischen EPIZ und Sladia? Wann waren das quasi diese ersten Berührungspunkte?
Also das hat begonnen 2018/19. Mein Aufenthalt dort war zwischen 2019 und März 2020. Und ich musste leider zurückkommen wegen Corona. Aber mittlerweile bin ich Mitglied bei Sladia und Mitglied beim EPIZ ehrenamtlich. Und dann hat es dann Fahrt aufgenommen bezüglich durch den Antrag und die jetzigen Kooperationen.
Also du hattest die Chance, vor Ort auch zu sehen und das zu sein und dir dann ein Bild zu machen. Was war dein Eindruck? Wie sind die Räumlichkeiten, die ja, Situation vor Ort in Sierra Leone?
Also ich konzentriere mich mal auf die Organisation Sladia. Also ich war, wie gesagt, total überrascht, wie ähnlich das ist dem EPIZ. Also es gibt auf jeden Fall ein National Office und dann gibt es 15 Zweigstellen, wovon 6 eigene Bildungsgebäude haben und die anderen Zweigstellenbildungseinrichtungen, die gehen zu Schulgebäuden oder treffen sich im Dorf, in einem Dorfgebäude oder öffentlichen Platz, um da Unterricht zu machen. Also so muss man sich das vorstellen. Es ist eine Mitgliedsorganisation, 500 Mitglieder ehrenamtlich und dann eben diese 15 Bildungsstellen ganz im ganzen Land verteilt, wo eben Grundbildung, Numeracy, Literacy und Allgemeinbildung gelehrt wird und gelernt wird.
Und dann jetzt kommen wir zu Mohammed. Mohammed, which is your way to Sladia? How did you join this organization?
Well, I joined the organization in 2016 as a member because Sladia is a voluntary organization where we pay our monthly dues. I am a filmmaker. In 2015, there was this workshop that Sladia Culture Radio and velfilm.org were conducting in Freetown. It was November, December. So I applied. So I was selected. So that there is the first place I knew about Sladia. But before that time, 2007, I have worked with Culture Radio in different roles. So I knew Culture Radio very much. But 2015, I came across Sladia. So after the training, I went back on my normal routine things, doing my films. 2016 also. After we did another training in the northern part of Sierra Leone, then I thought it fit okay. Their mission, vision statement is good. And I have experience now in filmmaking from professionals who have trained me. So I need to give back to my country also. So I decided to join Sladia, pay my contribution, everything. And in 2017, I started to volunteer at the secretariat, training other people in filmmaking, in media production. So since then, I've been part of Sladia.
And still as a volunteer, or you got some, is it an official paid job?
Well, initially it was not official. Late 2019, I was employed officially on a certain project. Yes, but like all the from 2016 to 2019, I was just like volunteer, pay my own dues without having no salary at that time.
But now, thanks to some funded projects, you can earn your employee. You're employed. So what about culture edu? It's and media training. So we are kind of close to the radio. So you got some radio experience too, isn't it?
Yes, too? Yes. From childhood, for me, I started acting from primary school days as an actor. Then when I get to secondary school, I was part of the Talking Drum Studio, doing radio in children radio drama, radio discussions. So I grew up that. So after I sat my WASP, my senior secondary school examination, I went directly to do a 9-month radio broadcasting course for 9 months, a certificate course. So from there, I did my experience as citizen. From 2007, I applied at Culture Radio. At that time, they were opening Culture Radio. So I was part of them. We did some basic trainings also in Culture Radio then. I worked for Culture Radio for 3 years. But for me, my passion was filmmaking. So, and I want to dive directly into filmmaking. So I quit the radio for me to go directly into filmmaking. I don't need nothing to disturb me.
But you got this radio experience from childhood on, yeah?
I've been doing it from childhood because during my childhood, we have this civil war. So after its resolution, so there are a lot of things that children need to have. There are a lot of things that we are going that is not good for children. So we started this radio program, like children's organization advocating for children's rights. We have things for government to pass on the Africa Charter of the Rights of Children. So because of this involvement to activism, I started it at a childhood age, so doing it in radio programs. So my whole life I've been in the media.
So is this a community radio, or what kind of a station is that where children and adults are broadcasting?
Yeah, there was two. We have the one that the UN Radio, United Nations, the Peacekeeping Force, they have their radio. Then we have Talking Drum Studio. It was funded program that had children, had different categories, so it's a huge project. So I was in the children part.
And what about your films you are making? What kind of films?
Well, for now, my first film I did in 2012, a feature film where I was the lead character. So I've been acting, doing some films. But later, 2015, after my training, then I started to reflect. I need to make films that address issues of concern in our communities or the country as a whole. So I started doing educational films, either part of my project or include other projects. So I'm more interested into films that create impact into the lives of people. So like what we do in our trainings, after we've produced these our films, okay, we started application forms. We select aspiring filmmakers, we blend them together, we train them, and we decide to produce specific films that address specific issues. Like 2019, our right on, we do films, two short documentary, two short fictional on corona-related issues. After we finish, these films were screened into communities. Why do we screen them into communities? Because we want to raise awareness and spark up discussion between committee leaders, people who are very influenced, and the local people who are not influenced. We invite them all into this event. So here, everyone has the same right to his or her opinion. And for us, we use this tool to sensitize, educate, and to people to reflect on what is the message of the movies.
Cool. And how do you reach these community leaders? So is there a network going on to go for the screenings?
Well, the screening is free. We do radio publicity. We do billboard or poster in this community. We also use megaphone for the advert.
And can you give us another example, maybe of a topic you get of one of the films?
Yeah, we've done something on 2015, done something on Ebola. 2016, we've done something on human rights issue, talking about sexual penetration of children, early marriage or forced marriage, FGM, female genital mutilation. These are the topics, abortion. Then 2017, we talk about youth, relating to youth, how the opportunity that are given to youth, which has very little or no. So these are the issues we talk about. 2018, we have some various issues, talking about plastic recycling. We talk about orphanage. So these are, so like, it depends year to year. So, and this year also, we talk about young people who are making difference, doing something also to bring positive change within their environment also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you're bringing in these films for the local discussions, I would be interested, what are the reactions? Is there any resistance also coming from the local people to talk about these issues so freely, or is what are the reactions?
Well, it is really fascinating, and Sigi have been part of our screening. Maybe from the outside perspective, she can give us a clear. But for us, I will tell you that it is on equal basis. Everyone have his or right. And you will see people who don't have the right to speak up in certain events or programs because of these leaders. In that our programs, everyone has the right. We give everyone the right to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's making a huge difference.
So you're creating the surrounding for people to respond freely and yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. How did you experience the screening?
Alba said that I have a look from the outside. Well, I had, I think, at least three times I was part of such a public event, and you correct me if I say something which is not absolutely correct, but let's say we drive hundreds of kilometers away from Freetown, the capital. We meet in a district capital. For example, I think we have been in Geilang.
Yes.
Yes, and we found already by Sladia, organized by Sladia, the local people. And you just imagine a public place with a big roof where all kinds of public events can take place. You see benches, you see chairs, then you can see Alba and the whole film crew, Mohammed Alba, building up all the equipment and showing the big, big, big screen. And then already before it begins, well, people are coming to the place, trying to find their place, and all ages, you see them, you see mothers taking their very small child with them, although it's 7, 8 o'clock in the evening, so it's a very diverse audience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they come all into that audience, and finally the big event starts. And then you can see that everybody really is happy to be part of it. And then there's a mixture of seeing maybe 15 minutes long educational films. Then there is an open discussion where everybody can now contact maybe the filmmaker of that special film mm-hmm. and ask questions. So, of course, these are of different level according to the age groups and people there. But, of course, the filmmakers and facilitators, moderators, really try to answer those questions. Then the next film and the next film. And everybody wants to stay until the end, and all the six films are shown. And then in the end, there is a final discussion. And those who can write, they get maybe a paper. And just to reflect again, what did I see? How is that connected to my life? What might I change? How would I act differently maybe because of this film? Mm-hmm. So I have the impression that this is a very effective method, and also it suits the African context. You must imagine, well, there is this long, long standing tradition of storytelling. So it's storytelling via film. Mm-hmm. So that makes a big resonance with the people. Say they accept that method, like it, and can't get enough of it. So that is my impression.
Yes.
Social filmmaking with a lot of impact, yeah? If you got this big screenings, it mm-hmm. sounds like hundreds of people are showing up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yes.
Great. So, but this is not a part of the project, or is it? This is part of the everyday work of Sladea. And now we're going to switch back to the 417 project. So what are the topics of 417 of the project with the EPITs in Sladea?
Well, for us, it is a great opportunity for us to partner with schools, NGOs in the state of Baden-Württemberg with our branches. Because partnership opens your horizon, the way you think, the way you do things. And we believe from our own perspective, there are things that we also want to know about our partners here, how they do, maybe their curriculum, how their daily activities in terms of education or vocational education, how they are doing it. And also we believe that we have unique experience, unique things in Sierra Leone that we also can share to our partners here. So I believe it's a fruitful partnership that each and every one of us will, at the end of the day, learn and also implement a certain project between the partner organization. Maybe one of our branch and one partner school or NGO here, at the end of the project, they will meet to do a little project that reflects the minds of both countries. Like, there is this NGO that partnered with Kailaum. They want to talk about plastic. It's a big issue to us. So how are we doing? So we see how plastic is there, also here, maybe in other continent, they look at it, yes, this is not one side problem. It's a global issue. So what do we need? We need global action. How can we do it? We can do it locally, do a project in Sierra Leone, in Germany, and see how the outcome is. So these are the fruitful partnership that we are looking for that makes impact. So at the end of the day, everyone will learn, everyone will gain something.
So once again, you got the plastic topic. Which are other topics you work on with the views of both sides?
Yeah, plastic is one. Although I'm talking about climate change, planting trees, like the other school that we partner with, Bonds. In Bonds Island, we have a woodlot that we plant lots of trees over years ago. And that time in Sierra Leone, we are not talking about climate change. We just want to talking about, okay, let's plant trees because we need them. It is good for us. So, and the school said, okay, maybe next year we also here will start with one tree. And that makes a big difference. So there are lots of positive things that are coming up presently.
Ziggy, what's that?
Yes, I can add. You must imagine we are just at the start. The branches and the partners here, they get to know each other, but already they are evolving ideas of joint actions. So we have the two partners have given them all options, and just we said, well, let's find one cluster of SDG or one SDG. You find one or a cluster together. So the plastic business would be maybe the climate change cluster. But already evolving from the previous discussions, I see other things. For example, this whole issue about a basic literacy. Yeah. So I was fascinated when a German school said, well, now we are in the situation that we don't have fully educated literacy teachers, but we have to offer a course now with our staff. So we would like to learn from the Sladia, which has a long-standing experience with basic literacy in English, and they have to do it here now. What are their methods? What are their material? And so on. So that would be a certain request, which would be maybe under the slogan or SDG quality education or education for all, will be a joint subject. And so they have already on both sides reflected what else it could be. So on the list are water issues, for sure. And also, of course, there is health and corona. Like yesterday, I had a Zoom meeting with a partner in the branch Kono, and we said, well, it's so interesting how both countries are dealing with corona. What is the situation? There, it seems to be stable low, but we are not so sure, but Delta might arrive. Now, here is the fourth wave coming. And we were comparing how to react and what can we do in education. And we already have a joint point that here we have people who are in social media and influenced by so many messages about fake news or amazing theories why vaccinations are harmful and so on and so forth. You can imagine. It's there in both countries. And in both countries, there's a resistance, for example, against vaccination. So in the future, we might reflect the two partners, well, what did we do? In which way do we approach this via our educational events? So you see, the floor is open for so many topics.
Yeah, it's a process. It's not given, or it's not fixed now in the beginning of a project, of course. Yeah, you need to evolve it. And of course, probably this visit is also a useful tool to get along with new topics. So what have you experienced? What have you done during your time in Reutlingen and in Baden-Württemberg so far?
A lot. doing internship, visiting places, visiting people, doing certain things that really have learned a lot. We went to the designers, do some video, 360 video editing stuff. At EPs, doing website, update other issues. Yeah, also visit
the training?
Yes. The training at Bad Urak.
Exactly.
Where we have training for the partners there, and it was fruitful. We have 2 days training. And
what kind of training?
Was it? Regarding the 4 plus 17. Oh. The training, yes. And they had lots of questions, things that were in their minds, thinking. And on that day, I was able to answer, if not all, most of the questions.
What was most impressive thing you've experienced?
Is the free will to object if you don't agree with something. Like, I got a concept like this horizontal line, 3 points, I agree, I don't agree, in the middle, you need to, and also, what I was impressed, I went to a school,
Gansbach,
and I met the student doing some projects. It's really fascinating. For us, our education is more theoretical. Only for that is for people that are going to the normal formal school system, more theoretical. But I see here like doing projects, you know, and the topics that they we are addressing align with the SDGs goals. So for me, that makes difference, because now we should think about addressing these issues every day and night. So it's one thing that really, I think, that really get into me, and also for students or pupil, either to agree or disagree with teacher on certain issue. I think that is right. There are some system with us, okay, our teachers like this, you can't, they will see maybe it's like an argument, they want to rest. But for me, if something is not clear, you need to take a stand. Okay, no, respective, no, this is my stand. What do you think about this? For me, I believe that way it will help young people to learn better.
And you haven't got that experience in school in Sierra Leone?
No.
Because
it's
the teacher
top,
is
a top right. Mm-hmm. It's top down right. No. So I think that is one thing that we're missing.
Sigi, you want to add something?
Yeah, I just want to add that, well, I only have this 1.5 years experience in Sierra Leone, but I can underline everything. But I want to point out that Sladia always has a different approach. Sladia, from the beginning, is based on the education of Paulo Freire. Mm-hmm. And that means people have to get to know their rights and stand up for their opinion. And in any kind of education, it is basic that it's, well, in Germany we call it der mündige or die mündige Bürgerin. And so I found that the basic principle of Sladia is that. So it's very important that Sladia is there in Sierra Leone, complementing the formal education by these very open and free courses where everybody can stand up and say, this is my opinion. Now, this is your opinion, and the facilitators are trained in facilitating in such a way to allow open discussions and foster the formation of my own opinion and my own action. Yes, so I say they are on that line.
So this is quite in contrary to the official educational system. Right?
Yes,
the opposite.
Yeah. My question would be if the approach of Sladia is so differently and questions hierarchies for the project of 4+17, I wonder how you would address also the power relations of the global North and Global South, for example, and how it could be involved in the learning together about the different power issues, so to say.
Yeah, like the power issue I was talking about, mainly for schools, like formal school system, that's how it is work. But like for Sladia, we have this level that, like everybody has his own right, and yes.
Mm-hmm. So the principle which Sladia tries to put in practice, in place, of course, during our partnership discussions, which are at the beginning of the moment, I always must point out, they have started critically reflecting power relationships, which go back to mindsets, stereotypes from the colonial times. Mm-hmm. So through our training and by the help of Mohammed, we started that discussion that you mentioned. So we all ask ourselves, how are decisions taken in our project? Who is involved and at what stage? What is the role of whom? What are our principles? Where are places to discuss these principles? What is this about this term which is always there, partnerships? Augenhöhe, eye level, where is the place to reflect this? And we have said that the term that, by the way, Sladia didn't know before, that eye level term, mm-hmm. and some of the participants said it's a northern western construct. So we started that discussion, and I think it will be very interesting and fruitful to go on discussing these power relations and principles and how they influence partnerships and what is really a good international educational partnership. And terms like Augenhöhe need to be discussed, mm-hmm. and all kinds of stereotypes, prejudices, and so on and so forth. So, but mm-hmm. also, we must also then not forget that over the time of the partnership, that we shouldn't, you know, well, we should take it very seriously, but always we would have to always then again say, we cannot be perfect. The mistake is my friend. I can always make mistakes in this area. And then I have to find a way out of saying, sorry, I didn't mean it that way. Can we talk about it again? Things like that. So mm-hmm. then come back to a lighter side of the discussion. So that is my first impression to add to what Alva said.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, especially when you say we are here to learn from each other. So this is clear. There have to be mistakes made. So, and I thought also when you're talking about the different issues and it comes to find out what are the actions we could do or the students could do or civil society could do, for example, on climate justice, then of course it will be part of the discussion. Is it the same that we have to do here or there, or who is responsible for what? So,
exactly.
And also on the local level or global level, always to be in the discussion, what's the wrong, what are right ways and where we can build the alliance, which is what you said in the beginning. We need to take action, we need the alliance mm-hmm. On a global level.
Allyship, yeah, this is also a big issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah? You want to add something to that topic?
Well, not much, but like what Siggy have just said, we'll see and we believe we will be able to talk about issues. For our own part in Sierra Leone, we can do, because like for us, we are more grassroots. And for us, if we are able to educate the grassroots, we'll be able to move in. For us, not like top down, but bottom elevate. So it makes more sense that everyone is involved. Well, if it's up to down, it will stop at certain level. It will never get down. So we start at the base, influencing the people down there, and make this huge difference within their lives and in the community. So we all go up, and the changes will eventually move up.
Yeah, good process. what are the next steps you're planning, you're heading to?
Should I start?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we had the kickoff. Right now, the branches and the German partners get to know each other in Zoom meetings and try to find their best way of communicating. So Zoom is an offer, and in most cases, it functions quite well already. In some cases, there are web internet connection problems, so we need to be very flexible to change to mobile phone, calls via mobile phone, emails, and we are just on our way to find the best way. And between each partnership, it is a special situation. Yeah? You cannot say for all the 15 partners here and there, you find the best way of communication. So right now they are finding out how is the best way of communication for us at our place in Kono, very remote, or in Freetown, or in Germany, a school or people who say mobile phones, we don't have them. Everything is, we only email and we reject mobile or Android phones and social media for certain reasons. So you see, they are about to find their way through that. Then, of course, when the connections are really stable and working well, then there is this huge free space to ask each other questions, especially in the context of their education. Like we have given examples. Please give me information about the situation in Germany, or please give me a special method which I need within one of my courses. So totally free, what could it be, knowledge or educational methods? And then the last thing is what we have talked about. The partners are already now in the process of agreeing on a cluster or SDG. They would like to make a project together. But of course, it will be like that. They reflect what can we really do together and what will be contextualized, what type of action. Let's take your example of climate change. Of course, if you come together first, together you find out what are the causes, what are the effects, and what are then possible actions which might be different on both sides. Because in the case of the climate change, well, we can, in Germany or in our context, much more concentrate on the causes, because we cause mainly the climate change. In Sierra Leone, you can forget it. In comparison to the impact of the industrialized countries. So schools here might concentrate on, you know, how to reflect and do something about that we don't cause the climate change anymore, reduce that. And maybe on the other side would be, well, how can we adapt and what can we do to live with it as it is right now? Of course, also reduce causes like cutting down trees, but then you have to see what is the alternative to cut down trees. Yeah, so the actions will be different here and there, but jointly there might be a knowledge basis to then decide what can be actions here and there.
You might give an example what we can learn from the people in Sierra Leone and from Sladea? Because you said, no, this project is to learn from each other, and there's a special knowledge and special cultural experience in Sierra Leone. Can you give us an example?
Well, Sigi, I've just maybe mentioned something about the literacy, which one school have, you know, requesting to have insights how we do our literacy classes, and also there are unique things about Sierra Leone, our culture. We have a diverse culture, so I think it is huge, something that we can share, and also how we do our community relationship, how we interact with our community, how we feel belong with our community, and we see, we shoulder the rights of the community. So these are things that we think we can share to people over here, how we live our life, what we do for daily things. It's quite different. So it will be very nice for the city. And also it varies. Maybe in the capital city, what we do there varies from the provincial side of Sierra Leone. The kind of housing, how our housing, how do we build our housing system there? So it's quite different from here. So also, what do we think will be our goal on, like, for sustainable things? Maybe you, before using cement or sand to make blocks, we have cool alternative. How can we? So we have good alternative things that we can share with people over here.
Great.
Yeah, I underline everything. And then one more thing, which was so impressive for me when I was living there is, well, Alba said, diversity in culture. It's also a very diverse, the society is diverse in religion. So the majority are Muslims, then there are Christian peoples, all different sorts, and other religions. So the special thing about the culture in Sierra Leone is that there is a great, let me say, tolerance, respect, and trying to live together. It goes, there are lots of intermarriages between Christians and Muslims, and the daily life, we respect each other's customs. Like, we went on a trip for our study workshops and so on and so forth. We were maybe three Christians and six Muslims, a study team. And of course, then unfortunately it was during Ramadan. So, well, we had our workshop plans exactly made in such a way that the Muslims could always find a place to pray, that we would eat only in the evening together, but also that the Christians would have some separate food sometime during the day, so that everything works out nicely. So anything, any meeting in Sladia, for example, begins with a prayer, and a Muslim prayer and a Christian prayer, and it ends with those two prayers. So that was very impressive for me, and I think that is also one thing which could be explained to our schools and NGO and society to learn from there.
Could be a role model for a lot of countries.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kind of peaceful togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the political situation in Sierra Leone, politics and economy? You mentioned the civil war, which is, of course, not the memory. Is there a memorial culture also?
For the civil war, there is no like specific memorial due for it, because like over 11 years, and we have some great incident at some time, so it is actually hard to do something like that. It is like not yet on the floor, like people talking about it. Sierra Leone, before the war, we are doing well. We also like say we are the anthem of West Africa, and the whole of West Africa, in terms of education, in terms of leadership, they came to Sierra Leone for all those things. But because of the war, everything was devastated, and like in terms of education, it really went down like for me, like the time that I'm supposed to go to school is the time that we are running from one place to another. So the time I should maybe not be in primary school, I should be in secondary school, whenever it is finished, in primary school. So it takes a lot of things at that time. Also, then we started coping, growing up much better. Then there came a time that our economy was doing well. Then it came the Ebola epidemic in Sierra Leone, and it affected us greatly because we have to do lockdown, we have to shut down many things for us to fight the epidemic. At the end of the day, we were successful, and also we are coping. Also, then we have this Ebola, as in the Corona crisis, also the pandemic. So businesses have to shut down. More especially for small businesses, we have inflation, things going up rapidly and never went down again. Mm-hmm. So we are in that state presently.
So good luck with the educational project with the 4+17. So I think it's a really, very interesting project, and I wish you all the best for this cooperation and a lot of sustainability, that it will continue for years. Thank you for being here and talking to us, Mohamed and Ziggy and Marike.
And there's one final. There's some information about the project in the internet. Would you would like to mention this?
Yes, that is what it was. Yeah. We are glad that on the APIZ homepage, www.apiz.de, auf Deutsch jetzt, gell?
Ja, kann ich
da können alle eben auf diesem Projektlink Informationen finden zu dem Projekt. Und alle können auch mehr als Koordinatorin schreiben unter der E-Mail 4und17@epiz.de. Alle Nachfragen, Anregungen, sind da hoch willkommen. Übrigens, weil auch bei uns in Deutschland und Baden-Württemberg die Corona-Zeit-Situation sich wieder verschlechtert, suchen wir immer noch zwei Schulen, zwei Organisationen, die neben dem, was sie jetzt zu schultern haben, auch sehr gerne an dem Projekt mitmachen würden. Also auch solche Angebote können an uns geschickt werden. Wir sind alle im Fluss und es ist ein großes Netzwerk, und wer immer Lust hat, da mitzumachen, soll sich bitte an diese E-Mail-Adresse wenden. Und dann ist es auch so, dass so ein Projekt immer eine Eigenbeteiligung von Seiten der Antragstellenden erfordert. Und wenn immer jemand denkt, das ist ein tolles Projekt, das möchte ich auch gerne finanziell unterstützen, dann freuen wir uns da auch über einen Beitrag. Aber das Lernen voneinander steht natürlich hier absolut im Vordergrund. Und wir danken dem Radio Wüste Welle, dass wir hier die Gelegenheit hatten und so tolle Fragen bekommen haben, die auch den Kern unseres Projektes betreffen und uns selbst sehr bewegen. Also lieben Dank an euch beide.
Vielen Dank an euch, Mohamed und Ziggy. Thank you for being here and take care. Yeah. See you next time.
Vielen Dank.